Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, a couple of questions for you. Have you ever experienced the emotional wreckage of abandonment? Have you ever faced the insecurity of not knowing what tomorrow or possibly even the next hour will bring? Have you ever cried out to God for the mercy and grace He promised for our times of need, only to be met by utter silence? Well, those are the experiences lived out from early childhood well into adult life by our guest today. He is William Sanders, for many years a journalist with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and today the author of the book Staying, a multi-generational memoir of rescue and restoration. Bill, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thanks so much, guys. I am honored to be with you guys. And
Great to have you with us today. Absolutely.
Yeah, to be talking about this grace message that you guys share as well as anybody out there. It's just a real privilege for me.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're going to invite Bob Christopher to join the conversation.
Well, Bill, welcome to Basic Gospel. You and I have just met over the last year. We became Facebook friends, and we found out that we have quite a bit in common. We're both Georgia Bulldog fans and attended the University of Georgia, and, you know, it's Go Dogs morning, noon, and night, so that's a great thing. You've been a coach of softball, girls softball. I've been a coach of girls softball, and you know, we've had great memories on the fields. You've written about my all-time favorite baseball player, Hank Aaron. You've played a round of golf at Augusta National. You got to cover the Masters. I got to do that a number of years ago. And so we just have just so many things in common. And I think the one thing that we have in common that's most important is the very life of Jesus Christ. And we're so honored that you could come and be a part of today's broadcast with us. And William, you have an incredible story, and it starts at a very young age for you. Tell our listeners a little bit of what you've experienced and what you wrote about in this book, Staying, a multi-generational memoir of rescue and restoration.
Sure. Thanks, Bob. And, you know, all of those nice things you said about me, you know, it is by God's grace, and to be talking to a fellow Bulldog just makes it a little holier.
he'd love to do a sports show, I just know it.
I know, I would. I really would.
Maybe next time. Thanks. But, you know, sitting in the back seat of a car driven by an abductor who was a crazy woman that I used to call Mom, you know, the six-year-old me was pleading for something that I had no expectations of getting, Bob, and that was mercy. And beside me was my sister, Cindy, who was eight at the time. And she was, in that moment, my comforter, my fellow victim in this plot that's going to forever shape the course of our lives. And, you know, she was not equipped to be in that role. And, you know, for 40 years, I'm convinced that what went on that day and for the subsequent 3 days in my life and 18 months in my sister's life had absolutely no bearing on who I was as a young kid, who I was as a high school and college student, and who I was as a parent and as a father. Or as a husband and a father. You know, I guess, you know, in 1971, that's kind of how parents did things, is sweep it under the rug and pretend it didn't happen. Yeah. And so we flat out didn't talk about it. You know, we assumed that everything was in the past and it was okay. And, you know, if I'd met you on the street and got to know you, and we've been to dinner four or five times, this topic never would have come up. And it's not because I was embarrassed or particularly secretive. It just didn't seem relevant in my life. not relevant enough to share on a fourth or fifth outing with a new friend.
So to kind of get the story in people's minds, your birth mother, at a point in your life, were you five or something when she abandoned you? She just kind of left the family and went to, I think, Florida. And then not long after that, she concocted this scheme to kidnap you at the age of six, kidnap you and your sister. And all of that happened, and you were just a victim in it.
Yeah, I was, I tell you that story of being in the back seat of the car, Bob, and that's actually the first memory of life that I have. I don't remember anything leading up to that. I don't remember getting in the car. I just remember being in the back seat of this car, trying to negotiate my way out of something that I didn't have the negotiating skills to do. And she had my birth mother, which I'll probably refer to as Charlotte throughout this conversation, had left us probably 6 months earlier, had taken us to some neighbor's house and dropped us off and presumably said she was headed to the grocery store or something, and hopped on a plane and went to Tampa. And, my dad came home from work, found us at the neighbor's, and while I think that action was a little surprising to him, there were certainly some things that he knew, some signs that indicated that she was not particularly stable and, not the mom of the year, if you will.
Yeah, not really equipped to handle the needs of two kids. And so she abandoned you, and as far as the human condition, we want to feel connected and to somebody, and want to feel some type of comfort through those connections. And when you're abandoned by the one person that's supposed to love you the most, that just rips out all kinds of security blankets from underneath you. And so right. You were left to deal with that. And then she shows back up and kidnaps you and takes you down to Tampa. And at that point, word got back to your dad. And there was a daring kind of rescue mission that they concocted to get you back to where you belonged. And I think your mom had taken you to church, and something happened in that parking lot, didn't it?
Yeah, in fact, so I tell you that my first memory of life is being in the back seat of the car. My second memory is walking outside of the church that day. And it was just Charlotte and I. Cindy had been sick and stayed at this house in Tampa with Charlotte's roommate, I guess we'll call her. It's August in Tampa, and it had been raining in the morning, but it was steamy and hot, and steam coming off the pavement. And I remember getting in the car, and the first thing I did was manually roll down the window, and out of nowhere, these two arms just reached through the window and grabbed me and jerked me out of the window. And people are beating on this man with their umbrellas and screaming for the police. And, it's my grandfather, who at the time, I'm guessing, is 61, 62 years old, and tosses me over his shoulder and runs to where their green their green Chrysler was waiting with the engine running and my grandmother in the passenger seat. And they shoved me into the floorboard and just peel out of there. And I remember thinking this green Chrysler was the first thing that looked normal to me in 3 or 4 days. And so, we race from Tampa to Orlando, get on an airplane in Orlando and fly back to Atlanta, and I'm safe. But I think even at some young age, I'm wondering, of course, not in these words, but I'm wondering, how did God turn the 61-year-old grandfather of mine into Chuck Norris?
I know. You hear you tell that story, and you read it in your book, and it's just riveting. I mean, you're just turning the page and turning the page and turning the page. And
Cindy?
Yeah.
You know, that's the flip side to that. Maybe the first time in a child's life that you kind of question God.
Yeah. Well, hang on right there. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Friends, I want to let you know that our guest on Basic Gospel today is William Sanders. He's the author of the book Staying, a multi-generational memoir of rescue and restoration. Highly recommended, by the way, by some people whose names you recognize on Basic Gospel, John Lynch and Andrew Farley, among others. It's available from Amazon.com. At Amazon, you can just type in the word staying and in the search field, and it will come right up. Again, that's at Amazon.com. I think also, Bill, it's available at Barnes & Noble. Is that right? I believe I saw that.
I don't think it's there yesterday. Yet.
Well, it will be, will be soon then. Okay.
That'd be great news, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But just wanted to let the listeners know who you are as our special guest today and what the book is, and so we've done that. So let's continue with the conversation.
Yeah. So, Bill, you're questioning, you know, where's God in all of this? And as you said, you know, your sister, you know, you were rescued very shortly after being kidnapped by your mom, by your grandparents, returned to your dad in Atlanta, but your sister was still in Tampa. And I certainly encourage our listeners to get a copy of the book to kind of fill in all the details of the story. But eventually she was returned, and your dad married someone else, and that became your mom, the person that you've called mom most of your life. And but this story, what happened, just kind of remained under the rug for 40 something years. And then you decided to ask your dad about it and to get some information. What was the compelling reason that you did that? What did you hope to learn and to discover that has now benefited you as a dad, as a husband, and just as a person whom God loves?
Yeah, my dad and I had had a great relationship through the years, and you know, two or three times a week, he'll call, or I'll call him. Usually he calls me. And, you know, so we talk as regularly as probably any adult father and son do. But, you know, most of it is surface level, you know, template fill in the blank. I know what my role's supposed to be, and that's to tell him that everything is fine in my life and my kids are fine, and we love them, and we'll see them soon. But Cindy and I had talked, you know, for 30 years about this, and neither one of us were obsessed by it because we had buried it, but two or three times a year it would come up, and the thing that we would sort of be left with was, isn't it strange how little we know about what really went on during these years? You know, why it went on, you know, is it possible that it was just, you know, a really loving mother who acted out in a wrong way, but it was, you know, it was a custody fight over two parents who just loved you that much? We never thought so, but we knew that we had lots of questions and no answers. And we had respected my dad, who had made it kind of clear through his actions that that he wasn't comfortable talking about it. So, you know, he was heroic enough to us already that that we had chosen to respect him and not bring this up with him. And a couple of years ago, near Christmas time, you know, I'm at my computer and just really playing around at writing my story. And, you know, I write the sentence It says the most common refrain that I'll probably write is, I don't know what happened, or, you know, I don't know the answer to this question. And when I took it to my stepmom, who I call my mom first, I said, what do you think, Mom? You know, is Dad up for this? And she said, yeah, he is. You should do it. And I tell you, Bob, it was it was a series of moments that I think I'll probably cherish as much as anything during this whole process, is the way that he sacrificed his pride and his comfort level and his, you know, what's best for him, and put my needs in front of his once again. Because there's a lot of embarrassing stuff for a man who's now in his mid-70s and, you know, at the time was in his early 30s.
So you had the conversation with him, and that lasted over a number of months, I'm sure, to get all of the details. You talked with some other people. Where did the idea for the title come from, Staying, and how has that word impacted you today? What does the word staying mean as far as you're concerned and your story is concerned?
Yeah, so, you know, kind of part two of this book, Bob, is, you know, I've got two daughters, and my first one, oldest, Rachel, was born and just had horrible night terrors as a kid, and then started having severe panic attacks and was diagnosed with panic disorder and became, you know, a recluse, a shut-in for a little while. And, you know, I would just lay on the floor of her bedroom night after night after night, praying for God to show up and be the God that I needed him to be, and I thought he was, and I knew he was. And, you know, on the millionth and first night, I get this sense from God that he's telling me that you're the great stayer in this family. And I'm like, that's great, God. You know, I'm not really asking for a new name. I'm asking you to come down here and fix my daughter. And he's like, you're the great stayer in this family. And, you know, at the time, I didn't know what to do with that. I went and looked it up in the dictionary just to see, am I missing something? And I went through three or four definitions that were just as boring as milk toast. And finally got to one, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was like someone who's willing to stay in the arena of a difficult battle and, you know, give his all for the cause.
Well, your dad had been that to you, right?
He absolutely had, and I'd seen what the opposite of that was as well. So, you know, I had known staying and I had known leaving. And while leaving was never an option for me, staying was incredibly hard. And, you know, staying emotionally and staying, you know, so present in a day-to-day sense. You know, I have to confess, there were times when I was an enabler. There was times when, you know, I would put Rachel's wellness and happiness on this pedestal, and it would become my idol, because the most important thing to me was getting her well. And it was exhausting. It was crumbling me. It was this huge weight that I was so frustrated that God had put on me. And of course, Bob, you know that story. You know how eventually God will say, hey, Bill, by the way, I never asked you to do that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I, you're not equipped for that, number one. And number two, she may think you're her rock. And that's a great sort of human perspective of what God is for a little girl. But you are not her rock. You cannot be her everything. And
yeah, that's reserved for one person and one person alone, and that's right. That's the Lord Jesus. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Bob Davis, and our special guest today is William Sanders, the author of a brand new memoir called Staying, a multi-generational memoir of rescue and restoration. What would you say to listeners who have sensed, have felt abandoned, have felt isolated, have felt alone? What can they find as far as hope and comfort in this gospel message, in this great gospel message that has been given to us in Jesus Christ? How can you help some of our listeners kind of feel some comfort that you felt in your life?
There's a lot of times when we're all going to feel abandoned, and there's a difference between feeling abandoned and being abandoned. And, you know, we're going to feel perplexed, and we're going to feel crushed, but not the Bible verse is skipping my mind right now.
Yeah, the one in 2 Corinthians 4 about you know, what we have, this treasure in jars of clay, and we're pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down,
exactly,
but not destroyed. And so life is going to issue troubles on every front, but we do have a great stayer in our lives, don't we? And that's the Lord Jesus.
We do, and we're going to hear these accusations from the enemy of our soul and the enemy of our joy and peace whispering into our ears things that aren't true. And, you know, that's exactly what the deceiver does, is deceive. And he tries to convince me that, no, Bill, you really are on your own. You know, you cannot trust God. You can't trust God's heart for you in this situation. Go ahead and believe that you're saved. Go ahead and believe that you're going to heaven. But don't trust God that he's going to take care of the here and now. And, you know, to folks who are hurting, to folks who feel alone and abandoned, don't make agreements with that. You know, do not take this voice, quite frankly, that can sometimes almost sound like God, because the deceiver is deceiving. You know, don't buy into those lies, because they're not true.
And truthful.
God's word is that he will not abandon. And
that's, you know, his promise for us, Bill. And we're almost out of time on today's broadcast. This has flown by, and we sure appreciate your time. It's a compelling story, and I hope our listeners will take advantage and purchase a copy. Where can they go and purchase a copy of this, Bill?
Well, you can go to my website, which is william-sanders.com, and there'll be a little button there that'll take you to the Amazon page, or just go straight to Amazon. And
okay, so william-sanders.com is where you can buy a copy of Bill's book, Staying, a multi-generational memoir of rescue and restoration. Well, Bill, thank you
it
so much for being
a mouthful,
yes it is. Well, Bill, thanks for being a part of today's broadcast. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, good to have had you with
yes
us,
I can't tell you how appreciative and honored I am to be on with you all.
Well, blessings to you, my friend. Well, friends, we are out of time for this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. Thanks for being with us for this special edition. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.